This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Seth, I will say this, as we talk about the Steelers and headlines not having any fans in the stadium, super, super weird last night to be in the empty stadium with the scrimmage going on and sit there and go, this is what it's going to be like for these players when they're playing in this stadium. Like, there's nobody here. It's really, really strange. I'll say this. It wasn't as easy to hear what was going on down on the field as I thought it would be. That's what I was kind of testing and gauging.
Yeah.
Is it easy to hear things? Now, I think if the TV networks have all their different, you know, parabolic microphones and cameras, and, you know, the coverage of the game is way more voyeuristic and intrusive now than it's been in seasons past, I do think on TV we're going to hear a lot more things than we heard before. But it wasn't as easy to hear in the stadium as I thought it would be. That you're, you know, even now it may be easy to hear down on the field. I was hoping to be able to hear some things, you know, just from sitting in the crowd. Couldn't hear very much down on the field, but it was a strange environment. I don't know how the players, like, I don't know what this means to point spreads or, you know, what, you know, if certain teams are going to play better in this environment than others, if certain teams feed off the crowd more. But you're going to have to generate your own energy if you're a player in that stadium.
I wonder, just from watching baseball, where I've really come to enjoy the cutouts.
Don't change the channel on your thought there. I promise we'll circle back to it. What do you enjoy more, the cutouts or the digital fans on the wall at NBA games?
I think I like the cutouts better. I feel like I've almost gotten to this point where I've let my brain fool me into thinking they're actual fans.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, this is how stupid I am. I've gotten to the point now where, as the number of cutouts begins to increase, in my mind somewhere, I almost think, like, wow, good turnout today for the game. Wow, this is a good turnout for a Tuesday afternoon. That's not bad. I don't know. It's really dumb. So there's that. There's the NBA, which I like the overall NBA environment. I don't feel like those digital fans are doing much for me, but I feel like visually, it's just, like, I'm not an artistic person or anything, but however an artist would describe it, the whole presentation, the way the colors pop, the camera angles that you can have, I think, because the cameras must be, you know, up in the stands a little bit more in places where maybe they couldn't have them before. I'm really enjoying just the whole, like, the visual aspects of the NBA games. But if I juxtapose those two together and I start thinking about what it's going to be like, say, for the Chiefs, where there's only, is it 16,000 people in attendance?
Whatever, 22% of the stadium. That sounds about right. They're probably 75, 80 grand when full. Yeah.
My gut tells me, and my gut's been wrong about a lot of this stuff, but my gut tells me that that's actually going to be more depressing looking than an empty stadium. Because then it's going to look like, oh, fans were allowed in and only 8,000 or 16,000 bothered to show up. It's going to feel like when we used to play in the Yale Bowl when I was in college, and it was a stadium built for 70,000 fans. Yeah, go ahead and find me 70,000 people in Connecticut that are going to go to a Yale game. No, not going to happen. It was depressing.
I grew up in Connecticut. I don't think they've had 70,000 go total over the course of the history of their program.
Well, the Harvard-Yale game is big.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But it would feel like those games, Sean, where there might be like 3,000 people in attendance in a 70,000-person stadium, it felt like a Friday afternoon practice. It was depressing. There were people literally running the bleachers like joggers in there on a on a Saturday afternoon. Like, they paid admission so they could go run the bleachers, you know?
Playing a game in a Lifetime Fitness or something like that.
Yeah.
text message. Did the Texans win last night? LOL. They did. The Texans beat the Texans 20-6 last night. Aaron Reese had a really funny tweet at halftime. He's like, halftime score, Texans 13, Texans nothing.
Sean, there's actually more validity to being excited about than that there should be, because there's nothing more demoralizing than in a preseason game when your team still has its starters out, the opposing team has its backups out, backups are beating the snot out of your starters.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, like, yeah, okay, we're going to leave the starting quarterback in for another series because they got to, you know, I know the other team has put their backups in, but we got to have some success here. And then they go 3-and-out.
Got to put in the work.
That's the exact opposite of what we wanted.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, though, is the starters beat the backups, decidedly.
Yeah. Last night? Yeah. Well, I was just kind of joking around that, like, the Texans, did the Texans win last night? I'm like, yeah, the Texans won 20-6. Yes, it was the first team did beat the second team 20-6.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know you were joking, but there was an actual score, right?
There was an actual score, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is if the score had been, like, 13-17 and it was starters versus backups, I would have been freaking the hell out
at this moment. So along the lines with this Kansas City game, Seth, don't worry. The first team won handily last night on both sides of the football. I think eventually we expect there to be fans in the stadium at some point at NRG Stadium, right? Like, they've already said not for September, and it's only one game. It's week two. But do we expect fans to be in there at some point? Because Kansas City is kind of giving us the template for what it's going to look like when there are fans in the stadium.
I guess this is what I would expect, maybe, if the McNairs are trying to go along with, you know, I guess vaguely either county or government guidelines, whichever governing body they choose to work with. I think that once the test rates get down to more what people are hoping for, like when you're consistently below a 10% positive test case, which I think they have been for the last couple of weeks, unless I missed something. And then maybe
you're
when
talking
the
about
rate,
in Harris County, right?
In Harris County, yeah. And then maybe when the rate, like the number of positive cases per 100,000 people, when that falls below a certain level, then maybe they'll say, okay, look, we'll allow 20% occupancy and we'll do what restaurants are doing or what have you. Because like that part of it to me, I feel like I don't think there's really a lot of reason for the NFL or other sporting facilities to be more conservative than what other businesses are doing. But I also know that, like with the NFL, the TV money is by far the most important thing, and that they don't want to risk anything at all that might threaten the TV money being
collected.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern.
The teams don't even want to let the 0.0001% chance inside the stadium that you could jeopardize that whole thing, that the Golden Goose could get blown up by that. If eventually they do let fans in the stadium, I actually went through the list of things they're doing at Kansas City to get their fans ready for week one.
Yeah.
And there's some interesting things in here. Like, if you're a Texan fan, you go, okay, what am I looking at here? Like, how new is this world that I'm going to be walking into when I go into that stadium, when I go back into that stadium someday? And I think it's safe to say that all these things the Chiefs are doing are the things that other teams are going to be doing when they eventually make the same decision that the Chiefs did to let fans in the stadium. So just quick bullet point, rapid fire. They're selling tickets in pods of six people, friends and family. So it's not as though you're going to be sitting by yourself isolated with nobody within three seats of you. You'll have friends near you in little six-person pods, but that's how it's going to be. You're going to be near only people that you buy your group of tickets with. They're going to be disinfecting everything during and after the game. There's going to be hand sanitizer stations everywhere. Don't worry about bringing cash, because it will be a cashless environment. They're going to have chip options and mobile options. Seth, they're doing a thing called Chiefs Pay, which is like their version of Apple Pay.
I don't trust that one bit.
Why don't you trust it?
I don't know. So they've got their own payment app.
Yes.
Then they got access to my banking information and everything. I don't know. Okay, I'll be fine with it in 37 seconds.
Okay.
Because then you realize, like, oh yeah, I bet there's like 5,000 entities out there that have my credit card information, and every now and then it goes haywire. But all right.
How about this one? This one's a little underrated. And I live with somebody, a female who's a season ticket holder. There are plenty of females on Twitter and socially that I know that are season ticket holders or go to a lot of Texan games. Seth, they were up in arms when they switched from purses to that clear bag to bring all their stuff
right,
in.
Right, right.
The Chiefs are saying all bags prohibited, even the clear ones that you can bring. So I think this is going to be a bigger problem than
whoa,
they think.
Whoa, yeah.
All bags Man. Prohibited from being brought into the stadium.
That's a... Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
How about that?
You're going to have to, boy, you gotta, guys, I know a lot of you guys, you're out on the cargo shorts because all the fashion people keep telling you not to wear the cargo
coming
shorts.
Coming back.
You better get some big-ass cargo shorts for your lady.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be a personal taxi for all of her stuff.
Yes, the, ladies, like, honestly, the ladies may have to get cargo shorts, man.
Any of our women or other menstruating listeners that have experience with this, text in 713-574-610.
Right.
Like, isn't that, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, if I'm menstruating and I got a couple of tampons and I also want to wear, like, a pair of flattering pants,
yeah.
That's, where do I put the tampons?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I mean, I know where eventually they go, but where do I put them in the moment?
Right.
That seems like overly restrictive. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, if you're a man who menstruates, definitely text the show. 713-572-4610.
Well, so there's, I mean, and then women just have more stuff
to carry.
Is that
a tampon, or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah. Are you just happy to see me, and are you a little less impressive than I'd hoped?
Right.
How big are you? Tampon size. Seriously, though, women have a lot of stuff to carry.
They do.
Right? So between the makeup, the tampons, the sanitary napkins,
right.
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
I don't think this is – I think they got to rethink this. Why do they – why? The NFL has made so much progress, and they've increased the percentage of women fans up to where it's equal as men. And yet they keep doing these stupid little things that don't make sense to me.
Well, they did it for safety is why they went to the clear bags, you know, because of terrorists and stuff like that. Maybe they're worried about people carrying the coronavirus into the stadium in their bags.
They're worried that a terrorist is going to smuggle a used hanky in or something.
Right, right. Smuggle
the
COVID.
And infect everybody.
Tailgating will be allowed, but it'll be out of the back of your parked car and only with the ticket holders in your pod. So tailgating, Seth, significantly less lit than it is normally. You're doing it with your five buddies out the back of your Corolla or something like that.
One of our listeners asks, what about the secondary market with these pods of six? That's where it gets interesting. And I wonder, like,
because
the pods of six are supposed to be only people with whom you have an association of some sort. I don't know if they're going to check your genealogy or what, but this makes it seem like it would be a lot harder to sell these things on Razorgate.
That would be great. Can you imagine if that's what they did and that was how some people found out that that's not their real father?
Oh, Sean, that's the shocking stat that they found in so many studies they've done that involve genetics and whatnot.
Yeah.
So many people are illegitimate.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people that show up to these studies and are like, do-do-do-do-do, craziest thing. My dad and my mom are both Italian, but I've got red hair. You know? Do-do-do.
You could watch Seth wagging his elbows like some sort of simpleton. It's the best. All right. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien will name names when he's asked who had a good camp, and we have an update on each of the rookies as well. What will their impact be with the season 2 weeks away? Download that radio.com app. Bring us with you wherever you go here on Sports Radio 610. That's all next. All right, Bill O'Brien was asked last night following the scrimmage, who has had a good camp for the Houston Texans? Here's what the head coach had to say.
I think there's some young guys that have played well for us. I think John Reed has had a good camp. I think that Ross Blacklock's had a good camp for rookies. You know, I think that, there's other guys. There's other guys that have played that, you know, that maybe they're not in their first year, but they've improved a lot from year one to year two. And so, Charles Omenihu, that guy's had a really good camp for us. So, I think a lot of guys, you know, have really performed well in a situation where they haven't had an off season and they've had to just really concentrate in training camp. And we got a ways to go, like I said before, but I think some guys are really trying to get better.
O'Brien has been much more willing to praise younger players in this training camp than he's been in years past, Seth. I don't know why that is. Part of me wonders if it's, you know, these are guys that he is now handpicked. I don't want to make it out to be petty or something like that, but these are guys that he's probably more emotionally attached to than maybe previous rookie classes chosen by other general managers. You know,
right? That's interesting. Yeah,
I think it's human nature. I'm not even saying it in a derisive kind of way.
But like, it's like, hey, if you're coaching a little league team, you got to be cognizant of the fact that you got to be careful you're not praising your own kid more than the other kids.
Who's had a good training camp for your little league team, Coach Pendergast? Well, you know, let me tell you, Sammy Pendergast has looked really good throughout training camp. James Pendergast has had a really good camp as well. Yeah,
and you know, really, even the other kids that have played well, you can almost tell how they're feeding off the energy of the two Pendergast
of the Pendergast
boys.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like most coaches are that way, right? If you're coaching your own kid, if anything, your poor kid gets the brunt of the criticism because you want to prove that you're not showing favoritism or anything. Yeah. Yeah. Not Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's gonna say, yeah, this Ross Blacklock probably gonna be rookie of the year.
That's
defensive
right.
rookie of the year, or it's a disappointment.
That's right. So so Blacklock and Reed were the first two that he named. Seth, I can tell you both have had really good camps, and John Reed especially has been really good. He got a little time last night with the first unit there playing a little slot corner, getting mixed in with the group there, and he's been returning punts at times as well.
Yeah.
He's been running down on kick coverage on the edge as well. So.
I think that with Reed and Blacklock and Grenard, who was injured and didn't play last night, according to Cub reporter Sean Pendergast.
That's right.
I think that if Bill O'Brien, you know, was saying that, hey, this is going to be a veteran kind of year, I think those three draft picks, I don't think it's any coincidence that the scouting reports of non-Bill O'Brien people, like the scouting reports pre-draft and the reports on him since, those are all really mature guys. And I think that bears out with our interviews with Blacklock, Grenard, and John Reed. You know, we interviewed Reed right after he was drafted, and you and I were both kind of blown away by, like, oh, okay, well, this kid's an adult. You know, like, this kid's figured out what's going on. He was making jokes about how he got workouts done during the, you know. He actually, one of the most impressive things to me was when we talked to him about, like, how resourceful he had to be to get workouts done.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing it not in a rise and grind type of way, but just in discussing the challenges and everything. I think Blacklock, like, the reports on him are that he's very mature. He certainly interviews like he's a very mature guy. His father was, what do we call a Harlem Globetrotter? Was he a professional athlete or a...
He was a sports entertainer. How's that?
A sports entertainer. Let's say that. An incredibly athletically gifted sports entertainer that he was able to play with the Globetrotters.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think it stands to reason that those guys would have good camps too. That's one of the challenges for rookies is coming in and absorbing all the mental stuff they're throwing at you. Will you also have to learn how to be more self-motivated in a lot of respects than when you got some psychotic college coaches yelling at you all the time? And those three guys, it sounds like, have all done all that.
There's only two of the rookies, and they only drafted five overall because we know they traded some picks. There's really only two rookies that I think I am confident are going to be a significant part of what this team does, at least for the early part of the year, and it's Blacklock and Reed. I think Blacklock is – I think he's definitely part of the rotation on the defensive line, maybe more in passing situations. But when Brandon Dunn took a day off earlier this week, it was Ross Blacklock who bumped into his reps. You know, when J.J. Watt has been out, Amenihu's been taking over his reps. So you can start to see what sort of the pecking order is on the defensive line. It's going to be Watt and Blackson and Dunn. And, you know, those will be the three guys at the front, but Amenihu and Blacklock are going to be part of that rotation and get reps. And I think John Reed is going to, I think he's going to certainly get some time on special teams, for sure, running down on special teams. And Seth, to me, slot corner is a spot on this team right now where there are reps to be had. If Garyon Conley doesn't get back to where this team anticipated he was going to be coming into the season, that means Bradley Roby's got to stay on the outside. Which means there are reps open at slot corner, and Vernon Hargraves is very inconsistent as a slot corner, as a slot corner guy right now. So I think Reed is going to have opportunity. As far as the other guys go, Grenard's just been too banged up lately to be enthusiastic about him getting on the field early, at least. And then Charlie Heck looks like a rookie right now at tackle. And Isaiah Coulter has only practiced when Isaiah Coulter's been on the field, he's looked good. But he's been injured for most of training camp.
Yeah, Charlie Heck's going to be an interesting one to watch because, you know, we talked about this yesterday about how when you're 6'8", you got to – it's obviously it's an advantage to be that tall and long as an offensive tackle. You get to be kind of like the older brother who can hold off his angry younger brother by just holding his hand on his head, you know, and just keep him at bay while he swings wildly trying to hit you. But it takes either a lot of athleticism or a lot of technique to be able to move a big, lanky 6'8" frame around efficiently on a football field.
He's huge.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a large human being, and he's, like, in a lot of ways, I think he was a little bit of a late bloomer physically and got better as he went through college, but I think he's still growing into his body. So I'm not in a super hurry to see him on the field, and I would imagine that, like, spending an entire year working out for a living and just growing and maturing should help. But I also, look, he also had a father who was an NFL offensive lineman.
He was.
I would hope that his technique would sustain him through some of this, you know, just in being 6'8" and being that tall. But yeah, he's likely by all reports going to be a long-term project.
I think one of the underrated kind of interesting things to watch, Seth, as the 53-man roster starts to come into shape for O'Brien and his staff will be how much risk will teams be willing to take on when it comes to trying to slide guys onto the practice squad. You know what I mean? Like in most years, there will at least be some film out there on some of these guys in preseason games, and teams are just going to have a whole lot more intel in a normal year on a team's fourth-round rookie or fifth-round rookie, or in the case of Kahale wearing a third-round, second-year guy that has a lot of potential. Because teams don't have a lot of intel on these guys, really at all, when it comes to a guy like Waring, who didn't even get on the field last year when there were preseason games, is do the Texans feel like, we might be able to slide this guy through waivers and get him onto this gigantic expanded practice squad of 16 people that they have now. I wonder if teams are going to be more willing to risk that than in previous years, because most other teams will be like, Charlie Heck was a fourth round guy we had a good grade on, but we haven't seen anything. We don't have any film on the guy or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that part of it too is that I don't think they'll stress out about it as much anyway, because I don't think that they'll be as in love with these guys as maybe they otherwise would have been.
Maybe
I think
not.
There hasn't been anything to fall in love with, you know? Yeah. It's like you're playing one of those games, those dating games where you can't see the person. Which one was that? What was the old one?
I forget.
It was the dating game,
but there's a new one. Oh, Love is Blind is the new one, where literally you sit there and you interview one person for, like, the whole show, and then you've got to make a determination whether to propose to them or not.
So I don't know. Like, look at this wide receiver, Tyler Simmons, out of Georgia, undrafted rookie free agent.
And nice catch last night.
I like his personality, yeah, but I want to see, you know, show me your boobs. Like, that's before I know whether I want to date you or not.
I'll tell you what type he is, Seth.
They haven't seen the boobs of these athletes, Sean.
He's kind of short and stumpy for a wide receiver, which is probably why he's undrafted. Are you into that sort of thing?
Short and stumpy women.
Wide receivers. Are you into
under the right circumstances? Yeah. No. I think with a lot of these guys, I think that you'll slide some of those guys under the radar. But the teams that are doing the sliding and retaining the players probably are more just going to be mildly intrigued than actually fully sold, because they haven't. It's not just the preseason games; it's those combined practices.
Yeah.
You've only seen these wide receivers, you've only seen them work against four or five actual viable NFL defensive backs, and they're the ones that are on your own team.
Yeah, right. And they're the backups a lot of times who are on your own team. And I guess we just real quick point out as we wrap up the segment is that if you're wondering, just real quick, the rules. If you're going to put guys on the practice squad, they've got to go through waivers first, which means every other team in the league has a chance to pick them up for their 53-man roster. So that's the risk that you undertake when you try to get guys slid onto your practice squad. Question, would you sacrifice your fantasy football season for a lotto ticket chance at a ton of free beer? That's next. All right, so Seth, you sent me this tweet the other day, and I was laughing. I'm a fantasy football player. I've got one draft in the books. I've got another draft coming up in a couple of weeks. And Gardner Minshew, who is, I think, one of the more intriguing quarterbacks around just purely from a personality standpoint, and the fact that he has sort of kind of found his way into being a starting quarterback in the NFL, granted for the team that is the consensus worst team in the league in the Jacksonville Jaguars heading into this season. But this, I thought this was an interesting promotion that they did. It's going to lead us into a broader conversation about quarterbacks in the NFL. But for those who haven't seen this yet, I want you to think to yourself, if you're a fantasy football player, would you take Gardner Minshew up on this offer that he is putting out there in conjunction with one of his sponsors, Bud Light here? Here is Gardner, and this is what I want you to picture, Gardner Minshew in the restroom at Jacksonville's stadium. Look, not in the restroom, like, no, I don't want you to picture him. Ben, you're laughing. Not like in a stall or something. Like, I don't want you to picture that.
Oh, yeah, he's not pooping. No, he's talking to himself.
Ben, I was going to tell you what he was doing. Ben starts giggling. As soon as I say restroom, Ben starts giggling. No, he's standing in front of a mirror talking to himself, giving himself a pep talk, which leads into a Rocky/Karate Kid-style montage of training and then into the overall messaging. Get comfortable. Here is Gardner Minshew.
NFC draft right around the corner, and I'm still being slept on. Quarterback 22, average draft position 162. Who the hell is Matthew Barrett? I know I'm a first round talent. I know it. Just gotta make him see it. Gotta make him believe.
All right. So now here he is working out. He's pulling heavy things.
Kind of a long montage, isn't it?
It's a long montage, but you and I can talk over it for a second. Then he'll turn down the music. Yes, plus, I like this song.
Well, yeah, so they do the... What song was this a montage
This was in The Karate Kid during the early rounds of the All-Valley Karate
Tournament. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right. Now I'm getting going. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Remember,
it does like Daniel San is going through, and he's wiping people up, but also that the little blonde bastard's doing the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Johnny Lawrence is his name.
Okay,
in
but in this one, Gardner Minshew, he's lifting. He's doing like Gardner Minshew does a good job of like playing up that cheesy '80s vibe.
Yeah.
So he's doing a lot of the stuff that you would see in these montages.
A lot of exercises. A lot of different things.
He's sprinting with his knees
just
really
like
high.
Daniel San before he crane kicked Cobra Kai. Before Kevin Bacon taught a redneck town how to dance, and before Rocky Balboa knocked out communism, they all trained, and they all had montages. Now that mine's complete, I know I'm ready to be your first pick in fantasy football. If you want to win your fantasy league, pick me first. But if that's not convincing enough, Bud Light will send you a free case of beer if you do so. All you have to do is screenshot your pick, post it with hashtag Bud Light Minshew Draft and hashtag Sweepstakes to enter. Pretty sweet, right? But wait, there's more. If you win your league with me as your starting quarterback, Bud Light will send you free beer for a season. Beer season. Sounds pretty good, huh? So pick me, we'll drink for free. Minshew Bud Light 2020.
Okay, so Gardner Minshew is kind of fun. I'm not going to... I mean, I don't know that I would want him as my starting quarterback because it means I'm going 4-12, but... But Seth, so the question becomes, if you're a fantasy football owner, is it worth a free case of beer to draft Gardner Minshew with your first pick? And is it worth a lotto ticket to get a free season's worth of beer on the off chance that you could win your league with Gardner Minshew as your fantasy quarterback?
Am I in a three quarterback league or something? Maybe because I feel like quarterbacks are, it's a dime a dozen enough that I could I could grab it. Mayfield's like his ADP amongst quarterbacks right now has got to be like around 20th or so, I think.
Who Mayfield? You're talking about Minshew? You mean? You said Mayfield.
Mayfield. Okay, where's Minshew? Minshew's higher because of his running ability, but
Minshew. He said in that montage. His average draft position at quarterback is 22 right now. He's really angry about that. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Minshew.
Minshew, yeah.
Anyway, Minshew, who, by the way, in this video, he's got to keep the bandana on. I was frankly a little disappointed in his hairline. Like, as a youthful guy that people really like and everything, look, I've got an advancing hairline. I'm not shaming him for that. But it's a whole different look when you see him there with his the mustache. It looks a little creepy with his hairline.
Mm.
He looks like a middle-aged guy that maybe
as opposed to with a bandana and cutoffs where he looks totally normal, right?
Yeah, I know. There's something about it. This is where I think Bud Light has to be careful because what's going to happen now is that, yes, people will draft Gardner Minshew first overall in a fantasy draft, but not their fantasy draft. So I think there's going to be this is probably going to be a boon to the fantasy football industry, because people will go sign up for a league somewhere and they'll draft Minshew number one and they'll take the screen pick and then they'll forget completely about that league, and then they'll be the annoying team that you can't execute a trade with or anything and doesn't pay attention during the season.
Seth, this is when I was thinking about this contest they're doing, I'm like, this could be a big hit to Gardner Minshew's ego. Like, if I were Gardner Minshew, the first thing I would be checking with this thing is, like, 1 week into the promotion, I'd be like, so, how many entries do we have? And I would be terrified that the number of entries would be, like, 1/100th of what I thought it would be, or, more importantly, what Bud Light was expecting. My comparison I would make in our business is sometimes, and you brought this up before, when we do paid appearances, and especially you as a former player, you do paid appearances where they're promoted, and it's like, hey, Seth Payne will be there, and he'll be signing autographs. Isn't the biggest fear that we have as radio personalities when a client is paying good money for us to show up somewhere and sit there and greet listeners and take pictures and things like that? Isn't the big fear that, like, four people are going to show up in the two-hour period that we're there?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the big hit to the ego. That's what if I were Gardner Minshew, I'd be like, oh, God, please let there be people who actually do this.
Yeah.
Actually draft me, you know?
I think they will, though, because for those reasons that I just said, people game the system.
Yeah.
It's easy. I could go sign up for 20 fantasy leagues in the next, 7 minutes.
To get your beer supply.
If you'll just go ahead and take over the reins for me and do the radio show.
Right.
Yeah. Also, Gardner Minshew, taking the shot at Matthew Berry, you gotta remember, though, it's not just the commentator, Gardner. It's the actual people playing the leagues.
Right.
They're not picking you higher than 20 or so at quarterback. That's the fact of the matter. Don't get mad at the commentator. It's not like they're going up to – it's not like they're looking at Matthew Berry's opinion as the word of God and basing it completely on that.
You
play for the Jaguars.
Texans – what? How fun is this division when it comes to quarterbacks? Because I'm thinking Minshew's kind of fun. He's not very good, but he's fun. Deshaun's fun because he's good, and he's got a pretty magnetic personality. Phillip Rivers, kind of fun. You know, like he likes to scream and yell, and he's a bit of a redneck, and he's on a new team, so that kind of spices things up. And Ryan Tannehill's probably the most antiseptic of the four. You know, he's like, hi, I'm Ryan Tannehill. You know, that kind of thing.
But I don't know. How fun are they? You know, Deshaun, it's not like, boy, Deshaun's fun to watch. Gardner Minshew has a personality. Phillip Rivers, and Gardner Minshew, frankly, I think, like, there's a chance that Gardner Minshew ends up being the guy in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think there's enough that's still unknown about him, including the fact that he's playing for a bad football team, where I don't want to count him out. I like that kid. Like, I like his ability to improvise. I like actually his short and intermediate stuff. I think he has good vision. And I think there's a chance that he could be a good quarterback. Phillip Rivers is the exact opposite, where you know he's already been a good quarterback for most of his career. Just, all right, how much does he have left, and what's Phillip Rivers like behind an actual offensive line?
Yeah.
And I think that with Rivers, there's a tendency, I think, to say, okay, look at some of these janky throws he had last year. Oh, my gosh, look at how awful it was.
Yeah.
And he's just completely lost it.
Exactly what I'm saying.
But you could have done that at various points in Phillip Rivers' career. You know, he's had a resurgence already once in his career where it looked like he was kind of on his way out when he was on his early 30s. And then all of a sudden, they changed the offense up. He changed his game a little bit. And it's been 5, 6, 7 years since that moment. But he's also now at the point where he's in his late 30s, and this is when he might just fall off a cliff. I'm really intrigued. If I weren't a fan of an AFC South team, I'd be more excited about watching Phillip Rivers. Where now I'm just kind of like, all right, let's hope that he was just genuinely starting to show signs of age last year, and it wasn't because of the horrendous offensive line.
Seth, as someone who roots for the Texans, are you more concerned about the Titans or the Colts this year?
I'm more concerned about the Titans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think, frankly, I think the Titans have a more reproducible
formula
level of success based on, I don't know if it's the right long-term strategy, and I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be as good statistically this year as he was last year, but I think their offensive line is good enough, and I think that Ryan Tannehill himself is good enough, and I think their young wide receivers and their wide receiving core is going to be better than it was last year, to the point where, yeah, I think that combined with what was a very promising defense last year is a better overall team.
If I'm just looking at fun quarterbacks, you know what I mean? Like, not the best quarterbacks, not the elite quarterbacks, but just fun in a way, you know, whether it's their personality or whether it's their style of play, the AFC is way more fun than the NFC. You know, like the AFC East, you got Cam Newton, you got Josh Allen, you've got Sam Darnold, and then you've got Fitzy or Tua, whichever one there. Like, that's a pretty, I don't know if it's a good division of quarterbacks. I don't know if any of those are top 10 quarterbacks, but they're all kind of fun in a way with their style of play or the storylines behind them. The AFC North is kind of bananas with Big Ben back and being fully healthy. You got the reigning MVP. You got Ben Roethlisberger, who I think is a good dark horse MVP. And then the other two are Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow, who are recent number one overall picks. That's a fun division. And then,
yeah, that's
and then
a whole lot of...
Talked
yeah.
about the Texans, and then the West is Mahomes, Carr, Drew Lock, and then whatever they end up doing with the Chargers. Like, that's a fun group of quarterbacks.
I feel dirty about my feelings about Baker Mayfield right now, just because I'd grown to get kind of sick of Baker Mayfield after his rookie year, partly because so many people were so willing to put him above Deshaun Watson
yes.
in the quarterback rankings last
yes.
year based on a promising. And this is the, like, Baker Mayfield didn't have a better season than Deshaun Watson in 2018, but somehow he was a better quarterback in 2019 because momentum, apparently, and everything fell back to earth. But now I'm at the point where I feel like people piled on in the other direction too severely and didn't realize, well, wait a second, Baker Mayfield was playing football for Freddie Kitchens,
yes.
a man who nobody thought should have been a head coach just 6 months prior. He was like the head coach by default, and that there's a lot more to Baker Mayfield's game than people were giving him credit for. I think he's going to look a lot more like year one than year two.
The Browns feel like the classic team, Seth, that's going to compete for that expanded playoff spot that's now added this year.
Ah,
right? I mean, I think the Steelers yeah. and the Ravens are the two best teams in that division. But the Browns do feel like a team that could – they were better than their record last year talent-wise. They feel like a team that can 9-7 their way into this thing.
That's kind of a – that expanded playoff is almost tailor-made for the AFC North, where yeah. it feels like in any given year – there's a couple teams that are just beating the crap out of each other, and, you know, usually it's the Ravens, the Steelers, let's be honest, but that maybe one of them doesn't make the playoffs just because part of it is that they had to play a stud of a team twice a year on the other side.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday here. Yes, we are back to 4 hours, so good to be with all of you. We're with you till 10 o'clock this morning before we hand it over to In the Loop. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Texans scrimmaged last night at NRG Stadium. Deshaun Watson looked great. He was marching the ball up and down the field last night. Here is Bill O'Brien on Deshaun Watson's training camp so far.
Yeah, it was good. I thought he did some good things. He was in, you know, he was put into some tough situations. He had fourth and goal at the three. He had, you know, different situations on third down. He was backed up in his own end. I thought he handled it really well. He's had a really good camp. And, I thought a lot of the skill guys played well tonight. I thought we were able to get a lot done offensively.
Deshaun Watson, Seth, isn't someone who talks about a chip on his shoulder all the time, mostly because he hasn't had to. He's always been the best guy on his team. He's always been one of the best guys at whatever level of football he's played at. This has to be, if Deshaun listens to the outside noise, this has to be one of the first off seasons leading into a season where there has been doubt, not so much about Deshaun, because I think Deshaun is still generally thought of by experts to be a top quarterback, but this has to be the first time that Deshaun, a team that Deshaun is clearly the leader of, is just being universally doubted and thought to be, by a lot of people, in the bottom third of the league, certainly in the bottom half of the league this year. I don't know, what do you think, how much of that do you think is driving Deshaun? Because he doesn't give up a whole lot of that stuff when people, you know, interview him, and he does these press conferences.
I think it's always like there's a little chip on your shoulder, I suppose, about that stuff.
So I don't
know. Like, I don't know. Is he driven by pundits or what have you?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's probably not a great question. Only Deshaun knows.
He probably. I don't know, Sean. He's probably. He's probably got pictures of various media members.
Yeah,
up
yeah.
In his
I mean, it was a janky question on my part.
He's high kicking them in the heads.
No,
on his way
your point is made. Like I don't know. Like the answer's not Sean. It's 8.4 out of 10. Like I get it. Like I guess I'm just thinking, just sort of generally.
Well, no. You know what? It's
like they're expected to be a 7.5 win team by Vegas, yeah. And freaking Deshaun Watson's their quarterback.
Yeah, I think that there is something about Deshaun where at times we've seen little glimpses, haven't we, where he's shown signs at times of being the guy that in college never got any criticism at all because he was a hero. Like he didn't deserve any criticism at all. He's gotten testy a couple times in press conferences a little bit where you can see. You can see him kind of raise his hackles a little bit because he's being challenged about something.
And then he chills out like real quick. But you're thinking of the Aaron Reese thing from the Carolina game last year.
No, that also. And then Barry Warner had asked him a question at the end of 2018, right, where Barry Warner said something about how this was, you know, one of your toughest performances in a negative way. And Deshaun got a little testy about that too. In a good way, which I like. Like you can see that he doesn't just think like, no, I'm awesome. And there's a little part of him that, you know, wants to be sure that he goes out there and shows that you're wrong.
I remember you're talking about the one where he talked about, man, it's hard to throw when the you got defensive linemen at your feet.
Yeah, that wasn't actually a great moment because he was just – that was as close as he ever came to just flat out blaming the offensive line, which was a true statement. But, you know, as a quarterback, you want to be sure you be careful about that.
Yeah, he's not an analyst. He's the quarterback of the football team. So
no, it was a good question, Sean. Don't ever sell yourself short.
It was a little broad. I get that. All right, so the NBA season is going to restart.
Hey, Seth, what do you think Deshaun's favorite color is?
I don't know, Sean. I guess it could be green, I suppose.
Blue's a popular answer.
He wore orange in college, you jackass. Yeah. All right. The NBA season is going to restart. What did the players accomplish exactly, and what was the thought process behind the Texans getting that scrimmage onto the field when I'm sure there were discussions of postponing that as well? We'll get into all that as we head into the 9 o'clock hour next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.